right, what is up, everybody? Thank you again so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. We are rolling strong with this podcast. We've just keep putting episodes out, and I am enjoying every minute of it. So thank you guys so much for listening. It really means a lot. This is one of my favorite episodes that I have recorded so far. I don't think I have said that quite as many times as you might think. but this is with my dear friend Stacy D from Bad Cop, Bad Cop. We've known each other for probably about 8 years. So, you know, we talk about a few things from the past and refer to a few things from previous conversations and podcasts that we've had. But this is really a great episode. And I was on cloud nine after talking with Stacy. It was just so refreshing and nice to get some of her positive energy and on the podcast, and it just made me feel really good. So Bad Cop has a new album out called Lighten Up. It's awesome. I listened to it two or three times all the way through yesterday. I really, really dig it. As we talk about on this podcast, Bad Cop, Bad Cop is a punk band, but on this album, you know, they've got some reggae type sounding songs, some elements of those in some of their songs. It's just different and it's awesome. It's got some really good guitar riffs and solos as well, and great melodies that you'll find yourself singing along to before you know it. So definitely check out their album. It's Lighten Up. It's Fat Music, but it's Hopeless Records now. So it's like a kind of symbiotic like thing. I don't know how much you all know about how Hopeless now owns the Fat Records catalog. So we didn't go into that much, but so Bad Cop, Bad Cop is a Fat Records band, and now that's owned by Hopeless. So this was just great, though. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. We talked a little bit about songwriting. We talked about just touring and your making connections, and Stacy's history in music in general, but also about, you know, how you look at things and your perspective. Perspective is reality. So so we talked about a lot of that stuff. So I really appreciate you guys tuning in. I hope you listen to the record Lighten Up. My band, Wes Hoffman and Friends, recently put out a new single. It's called After Hours. It's been getting a lot of listens on Spotify. So thank you. I don't know if people that are listening to this podcast are listening to it or not, but please give it a listen if you have not already. It's called After Hours. It's just Wes Hoffman. If you look that up on Spotify or Apple Music or Tidal or YouTube Music, whatever streaming service you use, it's After Hours. It's by Wes Hoffman. Please check it out. So we have a show coming up this Sunday at Platypus in the Grove in St. Louis, Missouri with Counterpunch, No Point, and Rum Luck. So if you are based in St. Louis and you're listening to this podcast, please come out on Sunday, September 28th, see us play. We will play After Hours at that show. We'd love to have you there. And then if you are in any of these areas, we are going on tour soon. October 2nd, we're going to be in Little Rock, Arkansas at Vino's Brew Pub. On October 3rd, we're going to be in Jonesboro at Something Art Cafe with our friends The Storyline and Fight Back Mountain from here in St. Louis. And on October 4th, we're going to be back in Memphis at Haven House. We have not played Haven House yet. We have played High Tone is normally our venue that we play whenever we're in Memphis, but we are taking a little bit of a break from High Tone. We love High Tone. Nothing against them. They didn't have the date open. So we are playing at Haven House in Memphis on October 4th. And then October 5th, we're going to be in Nashville. Music City, baby. We love, love, love Nashville. We're going to be back at the Cobra. Love the Cobra. Great venue. We played there once before. It was not my best performance, but we're not going to talk about that right now. So we're going to be back at the Cobra, and that's with our friends, our dear friends, the Catastrophes, Second Self, and Marins. It is the Catastrophes album release show. I just saw them in St. Louis last night. They were awesome. They're on tour right now. So please come out if you're in Nashville. Come out and see us at the Cobra on October 5th. And then we're coming home. So Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate you tuning in. If you like this podcast, give us a follow and give us a rating. That would be awesome. So thank you and enjoy this episode with Stacey D. All right, and I am here with Stacey fucking D. How are you?
I'm good, Wesley. How are you, man? It's good to see your face.
It's good to see you, too. Okay, so I wanted to tell you a story, and we had, like, kind of texted about this a little bit a while ago. But I don't know if you remember, but I met you on Warped Tour in 2017. We did an interview. I was doing, like, a different podcast at the time. And
yeah,
and you were talking about I don't even know if the album Warriors, it had just come out or it was just getting ready to come out, and you were talking about how you're gonna be 43. I know your birthday's coming up, and this was like 7 or 8 years ago, and you were talking about how, like, you know, you were talking about how you, it was around that time that you really were just trying to get people to listen to the music and get people to pay attention to what you were doing, and like that you had been in bands before, but you didn't really care about all that. And, you know, now I'm 42 and
woo!
Yeah, I don't feel like it at all. I really don't feel like it at all. But I, hold on. I'm getting a weird, okay. A call came in. So, but now I'm 42 and I'm doing the music thing, and I wasn't even doing it back then. And I just remember how that moment and what you said stuck with me so much and really, like, inspired me to, like, keep doing it. And, you know, when I really started to, like, believe in my music, I remember thinking, like, I just want people to listen. I'm just going to ask them to listen to the song. I believe it's, their songs are good. And so I'm just going to ask them to listen, you know? So I just want to say thank you. I don't even know if you knew at the time how much that was going to mean to me. I didn't know how much it was going to mean to me, but thank you for saying all that.
Yeah, no, I think I remember it was like, you know, I'm 43 and it's amazing that I'm getting this shot at it now and not in my earlier years. It's like now I finally had something important to say, and, you know, and then also, like, it's never too late, right? It's
yeah.
never too late to dig into what you love to do. And, like, when you go at it with all the right reasons and, you know, and not only that, but, like, with positivity and, you know, belief in yourself without, like, limiting yourself in your beliefs, you know, things, you could really make anything happen, you know? I've just been keep going down that damn road.
I love it. No, I totally agree with you. I feel like when I was doing music before, I always felt like, you know, oh, nobody's going to care. These songs aren't that good. I didn't have the belief in myself and in the confidence,
right.
You know? And then when I really started kind of focusing on, like, okay, yeah, these songs are good. Like, I think if I like them, I think other people will like them, and, you know, let's try to get them out there. So, you know, and
get it out there.
It's went farther than I thought that it ever would.
You're just at the beginning, it feels like.
I know.
Too, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I have full faith in you. You're going to keep fucking, keep going, dude. It's just so cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you
yeah.
so much.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay. You got the new album's out today.
Today.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Congratulations. How does it feel to have it finally out?
It feels very good, but I'll say it's like, it feels very, very good, but it had taken so long that it kind of, I feel like maybe took some of the wind out of my sails, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We were supposed to have it out last year in October, and then we were supposed to have it out this year in February, and then this year in April, and then this year in July. And so it just kept being teased to us that we were going to do this. And I'm really grateful for the new label, the Hopeless Owned Fat Records, because they really wanted us to, like, not rush, let us work the singles the way that they're supposed to be worked, let us make sure that, you know, we get to do our best effort at this, and, you know, so you guys don't, you've waited so long, what's another couple months, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, at one point, Wesley, I was about to jump off a goddamn cliff. I was like, I was driving up to my boyfriend's family's house, and the whole day I was like, well, what are we going to do? we're not even going to have a single out for this tour. We're going to go out on this tour. It's going to be terrible. And I was just like, I went so dark and negative. And Lynn finally said, hey, dude, you need to stop. You are not only bringing yourself down, but you're starting to bring the rest of us down. And that's not cool. And I was like, you're fucking right. And it was like, I just had to remember, you know, that everything in its right time. You know, you just have remember to have fun. You love your life. You love your band. You love your music. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't believe that people aren't going to come to your shows. Like, don't do that to yourself, you know? And the truth was, we had All Together Now came out on the first day of the tour. And when people showed up, people were already singing it.
Oh,
and were
yeah.
so stoked to hear it, you know? And we had changed our set around. I mean, forever and ever since Warriors came out, we couldn't pick another song to open with. But Retrograde, because 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, how do you put that later in a set? And then also, I can't sing that song later in the set because it's so, it's like, it's at the top of my vocal range.
Yeah.
I could sing it one. I could sing it once a day and early in the set, you know, and then that's it. I don't want to do it at soundcheck. I'm not, you know what I mean? So, you know, when we started the first tour, we had worked out a whole new set with All Together Now at the beginning to open it. And we created our own intro music based off the record. So the do, 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 do. We extended it and elongated it. And Alex awesome. Added like rumbling crashes and violins and shit. So it just keeps building. So it gives us about a minute worth of time to get up there and walk onto stage to this triumphant, like Game of Thrones kind of sound.
Yeah.
and we've been fucking pulling it off. I couldn't believe it. It was like the first day we did it. It was amazing. It was in Arizona and it was 113 degrees outside that day. So inside the club was like 90 still. But I was like, everything that we planned to do, we executed. And I was like, fuck yeah, this That's is going to awesome. Rule. And I just kind of shook that off, that negative stuff off that day. And I never looked back. And I've just kind of been going down the road and been, so yes, I'm very, very excited about it. I'm, you know, my boyfriend and I, after All Together Now came out, we looked at each other and he goes, well, at least we got one out. You know,
yeah.
We got one out for fuck's sake, you know, at least we got that. Because you never know. I mean, so many things can stop the process or stop the progress. You know, he's been, you know, in musical outfits where everything gets taken away from you right in one day. And, you know, so he's always very like, get it out now, get it out now, get it out now, you know. Just don't sleep on it, you know.
Yeah.
It might not ever come out. And then the next one came out and then the next single. And then, of course, today just feels... Like I could rest.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, All Together Now is such a, when I heard that the day it came out, I mean, most of the time Bad Cop's one of my favorite bands. So, you know, and I'm a big fan of just you as a person. So anytime you guys put something out, I listen to it right away. And I was like, oh, this is a good song. Like we need this song right now. You know what I mean? And so can you tell me a little bit about like, and it has a little bit of a different, and I noticed this on a couple other songs of the record, there's a little bit of a reggae vibe to some of the songs. Can you tell me a little bit about, like, and that was just new for that I had heard
from
you guys.
Yeah, it's new for Becca. Well, if you go back, we did on Not Sorry, we had one of Jenny's songs, I'm All Right. Remember that one?
Okay.
That one kind of had like a vibe to it. But you know what? Reggae is pretty much my favorite type of music, although I don't know how to write it well. I'm not somebody that's going to be like, yo boy, and do a fucking, like, you know, whole change my steez. You know, there was this band, oh my God, I'm not going to name names, but they were this band here in LA for a while that were pretty rock and they considered themselves punk, and they were like the 1977 punk, like they wear the shit, and so, you know. And then when that didn't work, the singer was like, I'm doing reggae now. And I was like, unfollow. I cannot anymore, you know. But, you know, I think my favorite, I mean, one of my favorite bands of all time is UB40. I grew up on reggae so much. I mean, listening to Peter Tosh and, of course, Bob Marley, but like Ika Mouse and just some of the early groups that I listened to growing up, the Wailers. I've just always really loved that style of music. And now my boyfriend is also, he produced Sublime and Slightly Stupid. So yeah, he really knows how to do, he created white boy reggae, you know?
He's in Long Beach Dub All Stars, is that right?
Yeah, okay. But he produced 40 Ounces to Freedom and a bunch of Sublime stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. So he's kind of got that flair. So he got me this like little beat buddy, and all together now, it's so funny that those lyrics had been following me around for years. When we were on the Frank Turner tour in 2018, I had my little guitar with me everywhere, and I was driving everybody crazy, and I was writing songs for the ride, but I was like really fucking inspired at the time. And I'm sorry, I'm having a hot flash.
You're good.
This is fucking brutal. But yeah, so I started writing. I was in the bathroom, got out of the shower, and all together now kind of came to me all together now. And I was playing this kind of thing, and I wrote a little bit of lyrics on a piece of like binder paper, you know, like a piece of paper, you know? And for some reason I lived with AJ at the time. I would be like, I clean my whole room, and I'd find this piece of paper, like fold it up, and I open it, be like, what the fuck is this? And it's all together now lyrics. Like, oh, right. I gotta do that. I'd put it away. And then again, I cleaned my room, and I'd find it. I was like, okay. So it kept following me around for years, those lyrics. And I was like, it means I've got to write this fucking song. You know, I have to listen to the universe. It's like, it's nagging at me to do this song. And I had done a couple different demos of it in a couple different ways, but I found this like one weird demo of it with Myra and Lynn. Myra had drums to it, and it was a ba-ba-da-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da. And I was like really excited. And then Lynn was playing this bass line over it, and I go, that's the direction of the song. You know what I mean? I was like, that's so, and then the way she plays it, like, I was just like, it's so fucking cool. That's the blueprint, you know? So my boyfriend and I, we got the girls together, and that's how we started. Like, and then we put a real demo to it. Kind of, I think we built it out here in the studio where I was like, this is how I want it to kind of sound. And then, you know, came the really digging in, because I had like, you know, just that page of lyrics, which was not very much, but enough to like, you know, I think it was all together. Now let's sing it from the heart. We have to, the first couple lines, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so when I sat down to really write it, it was cool. You know, at first Michael was like, I don't know, you're going to just stay on that one note the whole time. But I figured out how to move the chords around, and I figured out how to like really structure it. And I just think it came out so fucking cool. What a cool song, right?
Absolutely.
And then there's got like some echo in it and parts, and some like sounds like it's like a little bit of a bomb exploding, kind of like, you know, when you listen to it, there's like, Michael always says never a dull moment in on a record.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we did on this one in every song, you know, everything kind of was tied together and really cool that way, you know?
Yeah, totally. It was, hold on. I gotta let my dog in. He's just right here. I always love your pictures of Matthew, by the way, too.
Oh my God. I've got to send you this one. I just took, I was like, holy shit. He looks like a panda. He's like, so, I don't know if you can see this.
It's blurring it out a little bit.
So blurry.
Oh, I see.
I'll text it to you. He's got his little tongue out and shit, and he's smiling. I'm like, oh my God,
that's hilarious.
Too much. He just turned 14.
Oh my God. That's crazy. He's an old man now.
He's an old man now. He's like an 85 year old.
All together now though. The album, all the songs together, like flowing really well. I noticed that as well. That like some of the songs are, I really liked how you guys have like some of the songs, they're similar but different. You know what I mean? So it isn't a dull moment. It's kind of like, there was even a song, I think it's called Note to Self.
Yeah.
Where there's like a guy kind of rapping, and then went like punk rock. And I was like,
Oh,
it wasn't out of left field, but I was like, that's an interesting turn. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, you know, my dear friend, I don't know if you knew this about me, but when I first moved to Los Angeles in 2006, one of my best friends that I grew up with, his name's Noel DeMello, but he goes as D-Ski in the underground hip-hop world here in Los Angeles. And when I moved to LA, he was like, you got to come up to my house. I'm going to get you singing on some records, keep you out of trouble. So I started singing on all of these underground hip hop records. Where a lot of, when you got a girl that sings on your hooks, it's usually an R&B kind of feel, where I, you know, these were underground, like kind of punky rappers anyways. And so they loved for me to have this raspy voice coming in to sing on these hooks. So I got to sing on a lot of people's shit. And one of them is, this guy, his name's Alex Okana, but he goes by Tumex. Okay. And he is really, really, really one of the most revered, loved underground hip-hop artists in Los Angeles. I mean, and when I say that, like, my favorite hip-hop group in the whole wide world is this group called Freestyle Fellowship. And they come from this crew called Project Blode. And Alex comes from that. And so they when I came up, D-Ski, Noel, he was like, oh, no, all those dudes are at my house, you know? And I was like, oh, my God, like, I was starstruck, you know, like, and then I started singing, and then we did a record together called The Returners.
Okay.
And it's me, B-Ski, Tumex, and Di Delamore, my friend Jose. And, I got to like rap a little bit. You got to look, there's videos on YouTube.
I'm going to go down a rabbit hole tomorrow for sure.
and then out of that spun this group called Knives and Gasoline that was just Noel and I, D-Ski and I, that was very indie rock, but with hip hop beats. It was, he would create the beats, but then we play all the instrumentation, just he and I, and I wrote the lyrics. One, he wrote Off the Air, but go check all that stuff out because it's actually really good.
I will.
But then Alex, he got diabetes. He was diagnosed with diabetes. And in the last couple of years, you know, he's had to go on dialysis and he's lost a foot and he's fucking going blind. And, you know, it's like, it's tragic, you know, because he's just such a talent. And I go, dude, will you sing on my song? Because I just wanted to drive the message home, you know. It's like, if I didn't call it Note to Self, I think people would think that I'm an asshole. But I had to like put it in, like I was talking to myself. So but I just seriously wanted to drive the message home that like life can be so fucking hard,
yeah,
but still so beautiful, you know, if we let it be. And maybe we just don't focus on all the terrible shit in life. Maybe we can also focus on the good stuff, you know? And so I really wanted to drive that message home with him, you know? And I think that it was so funny because we were like, Michael was like, maybe you do like, hey, this is Tumex coming in on the song. And he goes, hi, I'm Troy McClure. And I was like, it's so funny. I go, we got to keep that. That's just too funny. And, you know, he had memorized all the lyrics and he just rapped it right there. And then I sang on his record. So we kind of did a Shrazy.
That's so awesome.
I sang on his record with Chesky. There's a song, Chesky, Tumex, and I on Tumex's new record called Hang On Alex, which you should listen to because it's also
Is it
good.
Two, like the number two?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Two MEX. Yeah.
Okay. I'll definitely
And
look
he
it up.
Comes from groups like the Visionaries of Mexican descent, the Shapeshifters, you know, all that Project Load shit out of LA, which is just some of the best hip hop you'll ever hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check it out. I'm gonna look up the videos and everything too. So
and then we got Karina from the Dancehall Crashers and NOFX to sing the oohs and ahs. So that ooh, that's
on,
all Karina.
On Note to Self too.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Oh, I love that. I love little Easter eggs. I love like kind of hearing the behind the scenes of everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. She's so great. She and I she and the girls and I, because we've gotten to travel so much together from her being in NOFX and us doing a lot of the punk and drublic shit. She was always one of my, I always looked up to her so much. I mean, I went and saw the Dancehall Crashers when I was 20 or maybe 23, and I wasn't doing it yet, you know? And I left in tears because all I wanted to be doing was what they were doing, you know? And so to have it come full circle and her to sing on our record and us, you know, getting to fucking do it, it just feels like, you know, I got to live my dream, goddammit.
Yeah, absolutely you did. So tell me a little bit about, okay, so my band, we went out to California. We did a little tour, first time that we toured California. It was awesome. I know you were on tour. I was If you were going to be able to come to the show,
if I was home, I would have been there.
I would. You know? I was going to put you on the guest list and everything. I was like, man, I'm going to get to return the favor to Stacey and have her on the guest list. But did you guys, when you first started doing Bad Cop, Bad Cop, were you kind of playing locally and in your own scene? And
oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. And how were you guys received there? Or did it, like, now you're an international band and you've toured everywhere, like, you know, and how, but did you start out kind of in your scene and, like, build up from there?
There was this really cool scene called VLHS and also the Redwood Bar in downtown Los Angeles. Yeah. And we really came out of that kind of small local LA punk scene, you know. Well, I came from the San Francisco scene, so I had been doing this. I mean, Wesley, I've been in touring punk rock bands for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know? and it started like I just took the girls plus Jen Carlson and Joanne Gillespie, who Joanne was the first person I started my first band with ever, and Jen kind of took over for her and was like my musical partner. Jen actually started Bad Cop, 15 years ago, and I brought them up to Wine Country this past weekend, you know, for my birthday to hang out and stuff, and I was like, Joanne, remember, we practiced from 10 at night till 2 in the morning every day.
Wow.
That's how we started, and then when we had enough songs, we went straight out and started playing every single day in the city. And then once we started getting recognized and put on, like, you know, national touring acts,
sure.
We were pissing off promoters because it was like, you're playing on Wednesday? It's Thursday. You know, it's like, we didn't know, you know? And so that, you know, learned a little lesson there.
Yeah.
You kind of got to not play as much if you're going to be on, you know, national touring shows and you want to be get a little bit bigger. And then here in LA, we just started all over. I had a band called Compton SF, and it's how we met Myra. Myra came to our record release show in San Francisco, and then the next week I was in a studio. Jen wanted to play bass. She'd always been our my drummer, but she plays everything. She's just, you should check out her music. It's called Build a Rocket.
Yeah,
she's fantastic. Yeah. Jen's just, she's my sister. This is a funny thing too. I'm jumping all over the place.
You're good.
Her last name is Kirk. My grandmother's main last name is Kirk, and Alex in my band now, her mother's main last name is Kirk. So we're Kirk.
That's crazy.
So I feel like we are really related. Actually, her dad's name, Donald Kirk, popped up in my genealogy, my ancestor.com.
Oh wow.
But I don't do deep dives on that. So I just saw it once. I was like, dude, your dad's name popped up on my, so anyways, we just started again, over again, you know, doing what we do, and that's playing locally and playing a lot and going out to shows a lot and, sticking together with all the bands that we came up with. You know, there's this band, you know, but you know, the Bomb Pops, but before that, Polly's husband was in a band. It is this band called Murderland.
Yeah, I know Murderland. Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. You know? So we kind of came up with those guys and the Bomb Pops for sure. You know?
Yeah, we just played, we went on tour with Versus the World and Pat and Tony in Murderland. Yeah. So they're great guys.
Everybody is in Versus the World now. It's just the only guy that isn't is Mike, which is a shame because he's a fucking fantastic drummer. He's Polly's husband, and he was one of my best friends. He used to come over to my house on Tuesdays, and I'd make dinner, and we'd watch horror movies.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I just love that guy so much. And you know, Polly and I and Bad Cop have been doing more things lately, so I've been getting to see Mike and Adler, their kid, a lot more, which makes me really happy because they feel like family and home to me.
That's really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when did you feel like things really kind of started to escalate with Bad Cop, and you were like, oh man, this is, I'm always interested in kind of like, was there a moment that you were like, man, this is really taking off, or like, you know, a show that you realized, man, people are really paying attention to what we're doing, or anything like that?
I will say that we did notice that we were getting, more of like, we weren't opening anymore. We were kind of more of the headliner of the local scenes. It was kind of our shows. A lot of people would come. People really loved us in the scene. So they, you know, we'd see all the same people at all the shows. And we, you know, so that felt like it was moving in the right direction. And then this happened. This is a funny get out of your own way story. So Get Dead got signed to Fat Records.
Yeah.
And I was like up in the city a bunch. And, you know, those guys have always been really good friends of mine. I come up with Compton SF and the Angry Amputees, my bands, came up with Mikey's bands, Splitting Seconds, and then Sam was always kind of a rapper. And then when he started Get Dead, he was in Louie and the Regals, which was awesome. And which was kind of sounded like Get Dead, but then Get Dead kind of took that over. And then I remember when they got signed, I thought, it's never going to happen for me. It's just not. And so I resigned myself to the fact that, like, I was never going to be on Fat Records. I was never going to have that experience. And what was it that made you feel that way? I just felt like it's happening for them. I don't think that I know, because Mike had been in my life for years, you know, Fat Mike, and he loved the Angry Amputees, but he always loved my voice and not so much our songs, you know. He didn't think we were ready yet. And then Compton SF started, and he loved Compton SF, and he thought we had a couple good songs, but not enough to garnish us, you know, getting a place on the roster. And so, you know, he was always in my life a little bit, and I'd see him at shows. I'd invite him to shows, you know, just to kind of keep that conversation going.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And then when, was it before? Yeah, it was before I changed my life. So I got hired to start singing on his musical. Now this is a funny story. I forgot. So yeah. One night it was the Loved Ones at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, I love the Loved Ones.
in San Francisco. And after the show, he was like, "Stacy, get your friend. We're going to the Eagle. We're gonna go hang out, and then maybe afterwards we can go hang out at my house and, you know, whatever." So we all go to the Eagle, and he's playing pool, and I said, "Let's play a game of pool. I'll bet ya." Something. And I go, at the time I was married to a radio DJ in for the BBC in London, and I go, "If you win, I'll have my ex-husband play your worst selling band on his show for a week, and if I win, you have to write something I get to sing on." And at the very end, he was kicking my ass. And then at the very end, he was about to like do the kill shot with the eight ball on the corner pocket, and I whispered "Big beautiful titties" in his ear, and he scratched, and I won. That really happened. And then a couple weeks later, he goes, "I think I've got something for you." And he was writing the Home Street Home musical.
That's awesome.
So I had also, I went to Punk Rock Bowling when he and Soma, my partner and his ex-wife, first started dating, and she and I just got along so, so, so well. I mean, she's just such a wonderful human being. And so she came to the studio one night when I was singing the Home Street Home musical. And she goes, "You know, Mike, you should do an EP with Stacey's band. Like, you don't have any female representation on the label at all." She really went to bat for us. And I didn't expect her to. I didn't ask her to. She just did it. And he goes, "Well, what are you guys playing?" And I go, "Actually, we're going to be up here in a couple months. We're going to be playing this really great, like, drag show, you know, with all of these wonderful drag queens." And he goes, "Okay, we're home. We'll come." And so it was 2 months later, you know. And then so when we get up to the show, I text him and I go, "Hey, we're here." And they said, "We're already on our way." And I was like, "No way." So they really... they fucking put it in their calendar, you know?
Absolutely.
And then I guess at that show, he said to Soma, "You know, if they sound good on this terrible PA, I'm going to put out an EP with them." And when I got off stage, he goes, "That was great. I mean, you guys were just so great. It sounded great. The PA sucked, but I still loved it." He goes, I'm gonna do an EP with you guys." And I was like, "What?" I was like, "What?" You know, I just couldn't even believe it. We got so drunk that night that we went back to the house we were staying at, and we were staying at the bottom of the house, and it had these wood stairs, and I still had my fishnets on and shit, and I was like, I was coming out of the bathroom and I slipped down all of this. I was like, go, 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 go. And I was bruised from head to toe. But then, you know, a couple days later, he called me and he said, I'm signing Bad Cop. And it wasn't just for an EP. He goes, he knew that we already had an EP ready and we sent it to him. And he goes, I love it. I think these songs are great. I think they're smart. And I think you guys are great. And so he goes, we'll get the EP out first. It's ready. And that's perfect. He goes, you guys aren't going to tour or anything, right? And I go, oh, no, we're going for it. And he was like, oh boy. And so then that's when we started working on Not Sorry. And then, you know, then we started playing, we got the 25 year anniversary tour. That's where I had my bottoming out and got, you know, flown out of there. Cause I fought everybody because I was a total disastrous mess, but you know, it all worked out. You know, I came home and got into detox and came out the other end of it stronger than ever. And the band kind of followed suit and yeah. We were unstoppable.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I remember the last time we did a podcast and you were saying that like as you've become like more of a positive person and more in touch with just like the gratitude and the mindfulness that like the other, and I just think it's a natural thing like that as you become more of that part of person, like, and I've seen it in my own life, you know, where it's like the external things start to get better.
Yeah, everything does. Everything does. It's wild. It's like perspective is everything. You know what I mean? As soon as you like choose a different way of being, the world shows up for you much differently. It's something that isn't taught to humans.
Yeah.
You know, but it is the way this world works. I don't know why. I don't know why, but it's almost like the overcoming of things. And the staying positive and the choosing to see the beautiful stuff gives you more and more and more of that. It goes back to like, you know, you give what you get.
Yeah.
Or you get what you give, you know? And, you know, you don't really know. You think that might just be some snide remark at a bank sometime to somebody. But boy, does that really, when you do that kind of shit, how quick does that negativity come right back at you? You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I see, you know, I was just talking to my girlfriend the other day and I was talking about how like, you know, sometimes I get really discouraged because I'm like, I'm naturally like a giver and I naturally like, and sometimes I wear myself too thin or I feel like things aren't coming back to me. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh man, I'm just a give and like, I don't get to take, you know what I mean? But then something will happen where I feel like, oh, in a completely different area of my life, something really good just kind of like happens.
Showed
you know
up.
What I mean? Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's easy to get discouraged, but like, you know, and I think even going back to what you're saying about the perspective thing, you know, even about how I view myself, and how earlier in the conversation, how it's not like an ego thing. It's more of just like a confidence, like, no, I'm a good songwriter. I can handle these things. I can do this.
In myself. I'm allowed to believe in myself.
Right.
I'm allowed to do that too. Why am I not allowed? Right.
Right.
But you do know where that line is, when it is ego and when it isn't. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You really fucking know when it is and when it isn't. If I'm walking down the street and I'm like, oh, everybody's going to love my record. Oh, you know, I walk down the street going, oh, dear universe, please let, you know, people love our record. I love it. You know, I hope others love it as well. You know, it's like, but if I just was like, of course, that would be a false sense of, you know, of confidence, I guess. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, okay. We're running a little low on time. I keep it at 40 minutes because we got like 6 minutes left, but because I haven't paid for like the upgrade for Zoom, but B, it just keeps it. I could talk to you forever. So
I know we can talk forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We just have to do more of these as time goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so
this
I know.
This is so refreshing talking to you because everybody else wants to be like, tell us why the world is so terrible. You know, like. Have to get into these deep conversations anyways about war and whatever. But so this is just feels uplifting and wonderful, Wes.
Oh,
so
good.
Thanks.
No, it goes both ways. So I know I've had on Nat and Becky from Iron Roses.
Oh, yeah.
And they're I know you're going on tour with them. And then I also had Helen from One Fall on the podcast. So I felt like the universe was telling me to like reach out to you and have you on this podcast because everybody was like, oh yeah, we're going on tour with Bad Cop, or we're playing a show with Bad Cop. I'm like, they got an album coming out. I need to reach back out to Stacey. So
So glad you did. This has made my day, really. And I'm glad that it's record release day, and I'm glad it's you.
Yeah. Thank you. So what else? You're going on tour. It starts next Tuesday, right?
Starts on Tuesday. We're flying out to Chicago on Sunday morning. We're going to get there. It's Riot Fest. The Dancehall Crashers and Green Day are playing, so we got some tickets on deck, and so we're gonna go check into our hotel and then get over to Riot Fest and hopefully get to see Green Day. And then it's my birthday. First Sunday is Myra's birthday, and then Monday is my birthday, so we'll probably just keep it cool, do some Chicago shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of want to find
Chicago.
Some places Anthony Bourdain has eaten and maybe get a hot dog somewhere weird, or, you know, I don't know.
Chicago hot dogs are great.
Are they? I can't wait. I know. They've got the pickles on them and all that weird shit,
all the
right?
vegetables, the sesame seed bun. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Oh, and then we have a brand new video that came out today called for our song Disbelieve, which is one of my favorite songs on the record. I mean, that was like one of the first songs that that I heard as a demo, not demo, as like a mix from the night after recording it. Lynn and I drove home, and when we listened to it together, we were like, we grabbed each other's hands and we're like, oh my God, I think we've got something really, the beginnings of something really great here, you know? So Disbelieve comes out. Then we've got the East Coast, the Disbelief came out today. The record came out today. I turned 50 on Monday.
Woo!
woo! Tour starts on Tuesday. And then we're home for a couple weeks. Then we go to Europe at the end of October. And then we're home for a few weeks. And then we go to the UK. Well, I can't say that yet.
Okay.
It hasn't been announced.
have you guys ever played Spam Fest?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I really, so we just, our next record's coming out with Spam. And
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Stefan's great.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed working with them so far. It's been really cool. It's been, their whole team has just been awesome, but I'm really hoping.
Dude, I'm so fucking stoked for you. That's huge.
Thank you. Yeah,
that's
I've got my
deal.
Spam hat on. So.
Yeah, you do. I didn't even notice. It's like kind of in the
yeah, it's in the lights here. But
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. thank you. So I'm really hoping that we get to play Spam Fest next year. So
I'm sure you will. He'll bring you out, and then hopefully he'll get you on another tour with another band that's out there. You know, and you gotta go suck it up and take little money. But get on the goddamn tour, start meeting people, start building. I mean, when we first got signed, it was like we were the babies, you know? And I think the first tour we did nationally was with the Interrupters, and it was like for $250 a night. And we were gone for 2 months. You know, but that's when we started selling merch. You know, before, like local shows, we'd sell $200 in merch. And then I remember the first night in Fresno, it was like, we made $870. I go, count it again. I don't believe you. You know, so you just have to, if that's what you really want to do, don't be discouraged by that. Just know that that's the starting point, and it's only going to get better and grow from there, okay? You're going to be on that list of bands to take out because you're affordable and you're good. And then you'll start making your own fans, and you'll go up, and then you'll start doing your own shit, and you'll be fine, you know? So just know that that's how it goes.
Thank you. No, that's really good advice. Sorry, I'm having a weird frog in my throat.
I've got that one too.
Well, you're the best. Thanks so much for doing this. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
The record is awesome. I'm going to listen to it all weekend this weekend. So, and I need to get a vinyl too. So
I'll send it to you. Don't buy it. I will send you one. Okay. It won't be until I get back from this next tour, though.
Yeah, that's fine. I was actually just talking to Eric from Counterpunch.
He's got all our shit.
That's what he was saying. He was like, yeah. Well, they hit me up and they got all their records. He said they're safe and sound. So
yeah, he's got our records. We bought some fans because now we're in menopause. It was like, so he's got our fans. He's got our, he located at 5150 for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, Eric is the shit.
He's
dude.
The best.
We got to go out with Counterpunch. Maybe us Counterpunch and you guys.
Oh, someday. That would be That'd a be blast. Funny. Yeah, we did. We were, our last tour, our California tour was with Counterpunch. So
they're great.
Yeah,
great
they're
band.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Stacey. I hope you have a great day. Yeah. Send me a photo that to use for the podcast, and I'll have this out on next Thursday.
Awesome.
Awesome. Have a great night.
All right, you too, sweetie. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.